You're listening to a special broadcast on Radio Islam International. We're into the final segments of our broadcast for this evening, in which we've been focusing on Hajj, and we're bringing to you live coverage in terms of what is happening in the Haramain. We've been covering all of that for you this evening, alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, our theme this year is with regards to the symbols of the Deen of Islam. The symbols of the Deen of Islam. And one of the symbols of the Deen of Islam is the Hajar-e-Aswad. It is undoubtedly one of the symbols of the Deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought it down from the heavens, and it remains on this earth. We've been told that it is through the sins of mankind that the color of the Hajar Aswad had changed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Verily Allah shall raise it up to the day on the day of Qiyamah. It shall have two eyes with which it sees, a tongue with which it shall speak, and bearing witness in favor of everyone who did kiss it with truth and faith." To kiss it with truth and faith means to do so with firm belief in receiving a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The Kaaba is a tongue and two lips. Once long ago the Kaaba complained to Allah and said, 'O Allah, the number of those visiting me have decreased indeed.' Allah replied, 'Fear not, for I shall cause such a nation, for I shall cause such a nation to be raised, who shall be very sincere and earnest in prayer, and shall be prostrators to me. They shall bend down before you as a pigeon bends down to its eggs.'" So this is one of the ahadith speaking about the virtue that has been given in this regard to the blessed stone. Another hadith says, "On the day of Qiyamah, the Hajar Aswad in the Rukni Yamani shall be raised in such a manner they shall have eyes, a tongue, and lips. And they shall bear witness in favor of whoever kissed it with faith and devotion." According to another report, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once performed tawaf, coming to the stone, and he kissed it and he said, "I know quite well that if you are a mere stone, you cannot benefit, nor can you harm. Had I not seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had I not seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing it, I would have never kissed it." At that time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was standing next to Hazrat Umar, said, "O Prince of the Faithful, the stone does not benefit and harm." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked, "How is that?" Hazrat Ali replied, "When before creation Allah received from the souls of man the pledge of assurance that they would accept and serve him as the Lord of everything, he wrote and placed the pledge inside the stone. And on the day of Qiyamah it shall bear witness as to who fulfilled his pledge and who acted contrary to it." And this is in the book Ithaf. Perhaps this is the reason why when we read when we pass by, we say, "Oh Allah, I kiss the stone with full faith, Iman and Bek." We say those words, believing completely in your holy book and fulfilling my pledge. "O Wafa and Bi Ahdik." Now those are the words that we say every time we pass the Hajar Aswad. So Umar radiallahu anhu once was a man who took a very careful note of the beliefs of people, never wanted any superstition or wrong belief to blemish true iman. We know that the tree that he chopped down, under which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taken the oath of allegiance, the pledge of allegiance of Hudaybiyah, and this oath was of such importance that had Allah's pleasure. In the Quran, Allah says, "لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ." And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu discovered that people used to gather under the tree in order to obtain blessings. He had it removed. He feared that people would start worshipping and revering the stone like the idolaters worship the idols, thereby eliminating a resemblance with idol worship. In the same way, he drew the attention that the stone should not be glorified and be kissed. It merely should be done so to obey the commandment of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's unlike the mushriks who believe that idols are able to bring you nearer to Allah. Similarly, Umar radiallahu anhu said about the Kaaba is merely a structure of some stones. Allah has made it our Qibla, towards which to make our Salah whilst we live, and towards which we must face when we are laid down, when we die. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Hajr al-Aswad descended from paradise, having been white in color, whiter than milk. The sins of man cause it to become dark. So this hadith tells us that because man touched it with sinful hands, the effect of sins caused blackness to come on the stone. According to one hadith, when a man commits his sin, a black mark comes on his heart. If he repents, it is removed. When he sins again, another black mark forms. And so it continues until the entire heart is filled with blackness. The Quran speaks about that. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim. In a similar light, we can understand the Hajr al-Aswad. In a hadith, it said the Hajr and the Maqam Ibrahim are two of the rubies of paradise. Had it not been for the fact that idol worshippers attached it, every sick who touched it would have immediately been cured of any disease. In another hadith, it is related the Hajar Aswad is one of the stones of paradise, but for the fact that sins of evildoers had touched it, the affliction of the blind, the lame, and the sick would have been removed merely by touching it. So it is really a great favor of Allah that He has granted us these blessed items, blessed places, and blessed times of the year. And it's for us to draw from that. When we go and undertake Hajj or Umrah, if we have the opportunity, then we can go ahead and kiss the Hajr al-Aswad. However, if in the process you cause harm to any person, then it is rather that you leave it out. I tell you personally that I had the opportunity of performing two Hajj and two Umrahs, but I haven't as yet had the opportunity of kissing the Hajr al-Aswad. So I always kept that in mind, that I shouldn't harm anyone in the process. And there's always been the fear that I may have to push someone or press against someone, and therefore I abstained from that. May Allah give us the understanding.